Cloud Center of Excellence. The first Cloud Center of Excellence I was asked to review already existed. There was a steering committee, a slide deck, a mission statement, even a logo. What there wasn't was influence. Teams ignored it. Architects worked around it. Finance escalated directly to leadership when costs spiked. The CCOE existed, but it wasn't felt anywhere in the platform. That's the most common failure mode I've seen. Most cloud centers of excellence don't fail because they're underfunded or misunderstood. They fail because they're built as governance bodies instead of operational systems.
ACCOE is not a committee.
If your CCOE primarily schedules meetings, it's already irrelevant.
In functioning organizations, the Cloud Center of Excellence is not where decisions are discussed. It's where constraints are encoded.
I've only seen CCOEs survive when they directly shape how platforms behave by default. Landing zones, guardrails, identity flows, cost boundaries. If teams can bypass the CCOE by deploying faster on their own, they will. Every time. Authority that isn't embedded into architecture evaporates under delivery pressure.
Start where the pain already exists.
Every successful CCOE I've helped build started with an escalation.
Security blocked a deployment.
Finance questioned a bill.
Audit failed an environment review.
That pain is not a problem. It's leverage.
When the CCOE positions itself as the team that removes friction permanently, not temporarily approves exceptions, credibility forms fast.
If you start with cloud best practices, you'll be ignored. If you start with this will stop the escalations, you'll be invited back.
The CCOE owns the defaults, not the exceptions.
One of the most damaging misconceptions is that the Cloud Center of Excellence exists to approve designs.
That doesn't scale.
The only model that works is this.
The CCOE owns the default paths and teams are free to deviate. But deviation is explicit, reviewed, and documented.
In Azure environments, this usually means landing zones that already encode identity, networking, and policy.
Subscription archetypes aligned to ownership, not environments.
Guardrails enforced through policy and role-based access control, not documentation.
When defaults are good, most teams never need to talk to the CCOE. That's success.
Identity is the real backbone.
Every CCOE claims to care about identity. Very few actually own it.
In practice, identity decisions shape everything else. Network isolation, data access, workload boundaries, auditability.
I've seen CCOEs fail because identity was owned by another team, leaving the CCOE to govern everything except the thing that actually enforces control.
If the CCOE doesn't have authority over identity patterns, managed identities, service principles, workload isolation, it's operating with one hand tied behind its back.
FinOps is not optional, even if you avoid the word.
Many organizations try to delay FinOps until later.
Later never comes. Every CCOE that survived more than a year had cost embedded into its operating model from day one. Not dashboards, decisions.
Subscription design reflected ownership. Shared services were explicit. Budget boundaries were real.
The moment finance asks, who owns this? The CCOE either answers clearly or loses credibility instantly.
This is where a lot of well-intentioned CCOs quietly die.
Tooling doesn't create a CCOE, but it exposes one.
I've seen organizations launch CCOs by buying tools.
Cloud management platforms, security dashboards, policy engines. None of them created authority. What worked instead were simple, well-maintained artifacts.
Opinionated reference architectures that teams actually used.
Templates that encoded decisions, not options. workbooks that explained cost and risk structurally. Clear this is supported / this is not boundaries.
The moment engineers stop asking, can we do this? And start asking, how do we do this the right way? The CCOE has traction. EU reality changes the shape of a CCOE. In EU environments, the Cloud Center of Excellence cannot be advisory. GDPR, NIS2, data residency, and audit cycles don't tolerate ambiguity. I've seen CCOEs lose weeks debating technically superior solutions that were dead on arrival because of control plane geography or unclear data flows. A mature CCOE learns to block early and explain calmly. We're not using this service. The control plane is outside the EU. End of discussion. That clarity saves time, even when people don't like the answer. What breaks most CCOEs looks familiar in hindsight. The CCOE becomes a review board. Reviews turn into negotiations. Negotiations turn into exceptions. Exceptions become the norm. At that point, the platform fragments and the CCOE becomes decorative. The fix is uncomfortable. Stop approving designs and start enforcing defaults. Teams will complain. Then they'll adapt. Then they'll stop needing you. That's the goal. What I would do again? Embed the Cloud Center of Excellence into platform engineering, not architecture alone. Give it ownership over landing zones, identity patterns, and subscription models. Measure success by how rarely teams need to talk to it. And never let it exist purely as a forum. The pattern that emerges is consistent. A Cloud Center of Excellence only works when it behaves like infrastructure. Invisible when things go right. Very obvious when things go wrong. If your CCOE needs to remind people it exists, it's already too late. The ones that last don't ask for influence. They encode it. Thank you for listening. If this resonates and you're thinking about how to structure governance, identity, cost models, or organizational authority in your cloud environment, you're not alone. I've helped Fortune 500 companies design and operate cloud centers of excellence that scale without bottlenecks and survive audit cycles, compliance reviews, and real production traffic. Should you need help with your multi-cloud or governance strategy, let's discuss how I can help your organization move forward with clarity and confidence.